Well, we want to welcome you. My name is, I came up here unannounced, so if you don't know who I am, my name is, you can just call me Jeff. My name's Jeff Shelton. Thank you, Chuck, for the introduction. it's in the bulletin? Well, then. I remember back, a great pastor friend of mine said, you know, whenever you're in a service, you want to look for the key. What is God wanting to do in the service? And I listened this morning, and then as Liz played this song, They That Wait Upon the Lord, it just kind of sealed it in my thinking. But I wanted to start out by just mentioning, I wanted to talk this morning real quick about two brides for two kings. And we're going to talk about that real quick because I don't want you to sit too long. However, how many of you would have to say this morning, you know, I've been busy this week. Been busy this week? I'm tired. I am tired. Well, there's some scriptures that you know. Cast all your care on me, for I care for you, 1 Peter 5:7. And you know the scripture that says, the other one is the one regarding take my yoke upon you, for I am lowly, and you know that's scripture. And I will give you rest, right, in Matthew chapter 11. I wanted to begin without reading it because I left my Bible up here, and so I was going to turn to it. How does that start? How does that verse start? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay. So I thought, well, some of you are probably weary, and then, of course, when something goes deep into the afternoon on Shabbat, it can make you even wearier. So I thought, you know, we need to rest in the Lord, correct? We need to cast our care on Him, but sometimes we need even something a little more. And so, thank you to the Kendalls. They inspired me this morning to have you listen to two special guest singers that are going to sing for you now. I hope this ministers to you.
Well, the sun is still high in the afternoon sky, but the morning seems so long ago. I was happy before, and I'm not anymore. But why does it change? I don't know.
I'm so tired of this day, and I don't want to play, and I don't want a story to read. But I look in your eyes, and at once realize that I know what it is.
Yes, I know what it is. Now I know what it is that I need.
To do, I just can't make it through. I want something or nothing right now.
I am mad and upset. What I want, I don't get. I don't know what I want anyhow.
I've been doing my best. Now I just want to rest on the rug, on the floor. I don't care.
Now the feeling's so strong, but the song is too long. It's the wrong kind of song, and it seems to be going nowhere.
When the going gets tough, when you just have to say you've done more than enough. I can't think of more stuff that will rhyme with enough. So enough is enough, is 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 enough is. I need a nap. Why does this
That refreshed you for a moment and made you kind of come down to earth. The key today I wanted to just mention was the idea of maybe here at the end we have, by the way, it's Claire Fawn's birthday on Monday. She wouldn't admit it openly. And so Claire Fawn is here. And Mary? October 16th. Well, that's October 16th. That's a long ways away. But at the end today, I'd like us to take a moment, and I know we handed out prayer petitions, prayer notes. If we could have some of you come forward, especially when I heard the burdensome things about Christy today, the concerns of those that are sick or have lost loved ones. If we could, at the end today... and by the way, I wanted to dedicate that song to Dave Pelegi, who continuously looks like he needs a nap. Isn't that right, Yoni? Look at him. See, he looks tired right now. But at the end, it would be nice if we could bring our petitions up before the Lord. And I've asked, if it's okay, Liz, ask Roy. Actually, you were so light-fingered on the piano there at the end of that last song. We were getting pretty excited. If we could have just some worship time at the end and bring those petitions before the Lord and stand before Him for a time, lift our burdens to Him in relationship to some of these that are serious burdens, like Christy's family, that some of us should come forward and really spend a little bit more time just lifting that situation to the Lord, because it's a very burdensome situation. Amen. So we should stand in for that family. And I appreciate you that have taken time to really pray for them. Two brides for two kings. There was a
bride in the Bible named Abigail. Now she was not initially a bride when she came into the picture. She was a She was already married to a guy named Nabal, as the scripture says, and they lived down in an area about 20 kilometers south of Hebron, in an area called Maon. I believe that Nabal had quite a wealthy situation going on there. He owned a lot of land. He had 3,000 goats. He had 3,000 sheep. He was a rich guy. He had some heritage, because it says in the scripture in Judges chapter 1 and Joshua 15, that this guy was from the house of Caleb. And he was a harsh man, and he was evil, the Bible says. He was an evil guy. And yet, he was married to a beautiful woman, the Bible says, with understanding. She was an understanding woman. And Nabal was one of those, he was a jerk. He was, if I might use that word, he was just a bad guy. In fact, his name has been translated into a number of words, fool, Belial, and some other rather even worse words than that in terms of what this man's character was. Abigail was married to him, and as you know, the story goes on that back in history, Caleb, his story of kind of the roots of where Nabal came out of, was that Caleb was
had taken the land, or as his inheritance from Judah, and he lived in the south, and there was a town there called Zephyr, which is Debir today, I believe. Yoni could tell me that, probably. Debir, an ancient area down there. And he said, Caleb said, look, I'm going to give my daughter, Aksa, to whichever man takes this city. And of all people to take the city, it was Othniel, which there's a little town down there called Othniel today, just off the road. And Othniel, who was Caleb's younger brother, took the city. And so Caleb gave Aksa to Othniel, his younger brother, for his wife, his daughter. He gave to his younger brother. And an interesting thing happened then. It said, and then it came to pass that Othniel, it's kind of flip-flopped in the scripture if you read it. It says, she said to him, and then in another translation, it says, he said to her. But it looks like what really occurred there is that Othniel said to Aksa, hey, tell your dad, Caleb, to give us land, to give us a blessing, and to give us the two springs down there, the upper and the lower spring. So this is the first expression in Scripture of give me, give me, give me. This is a give me, give me, give me group. They're a group of takers. They're selfish. They want things. Give me a blessing. Give me a well. Give me the upper spring. Give me the lower spring. Give me land. And here is kind of the foundation for Nabal's life. They were takers. They took things. And Abigail was married to the ancestry the offspring of this particular kind of mentality that came out of Caleb's life. Caleb, a man who was known in the land and maybe came a little puffed up about all that he had and maybe gave a little bit too much away to his kids, maybe undeservingly. It seems that it could be that way. I'm suggesting that. So here's Saul had empowered him with many men, and Nabal knew. I mean, he had Dish TV. He'd watched CNN. He'd watched Fox News. He'd heard of all that was going on with David. I mean, David would go through a city, and the women would come out on the streets with tambourines, singing and dancing, and you would hear people yelling, "Saul has killed his thousands or conquered his thousands," but David, his tens of thousands. And of course, that became a conflictive situation. However, when it came to the fact that Nabal certainly knew who David was, when David went to Nabal and said, look, I'd like to come up. We've been down having a little situation of protecting you here, you know, in the Southland. We've been kind of watching over you. That Nabal was not too interested in having a feast with David. And in fact, he said, who is this David? And who is Jesse? Who are these people? Rather pompously, like whatever, even though it was all over the newspapers who David was. It was well known who he was. But Nabal dissed him. You know, he pretty much was very disrespectful. And so David, being the impetuous kind of guy he was, said, I'm going to put my sword on. I'm going to take 400 men, and we're going to go up there, and we're going to whack all the males of Nabal's house, including Nabal. We're going to kill all the males. It's interesting it says that we're going to kill all the males because didn't include, that way it wouldn't include Abigail. And so Abigail heard of this, and one of the servants said, hey, we got a problem here. Because David is pretty steamed. He's pretty steamed. And his men haven't done anything. They have been up here. They have protected you. They have never taken anything. They've been kind. And they've never hurt anybody. And they simply ask if we could come and ask the armies of the Lord. And you've got a lot of things going on there. You just sheared your sheep, and there's lots of food. And it won't hurt you. In fact, if you do this, you'll be blessed. Why don't you be a giver, Nabal? Be a giver. But, you know, historically, there had been some patterns already set. So Abigail heard about this, right? And she goes, whoa. Now, I don't think she really cared too much if Nabal got whacked with a sword. But here David's making mention that a lot of good males are going to be killed. A lot of people around Nabal's home. There were a lot of good men. And so Abigail did a great thing. She got 200 loaves of bread together, and she got 100 fig cakes together, and she got a bunch of roasted grain, and I think she took 5 lambs that were already dressed, and and don't forget the wine. She got the wine and she loaded it up on donkeys. Now she was a pretty lady. The Bible says that she was all right. And she runs down from Maon, from that area, down into the wilderness, and she sends all of this provision down there ahead of her. And then she comes down, and you know what she does? She does the great appeal. Now, it's not really necessarily clear that David's group was really hungry, because he said he was going to bring 400 men up and do this thing to Nabal's house. But it says he left 200 men behind with the supplies. So it wasn't as though that the feast was necessary because he had a bunch of hungry men. It seemed like they had good provision already. But it was a time of communion. And so it's just an interesting thing as she goes down there, and she hastily goes down there, by the way, and she throws herself off her camel and she bows down in front of David, I would imagine somewhat publicly, with maybe some other men around. It wasn't maybe a private thing, but probably a public thing. And she makes a great confession of how wonderful David is, and appeals to him on the fact that he had never shed blood to try to avenge himself, that he was a good man and that God had blessed his home, and that he was going to be a home that was going to be blessed throughout the generations. And, of course, David, being as observant as he was, looked at her and said, thank you for stopping me from avenging myself. Thank you. And let's have some fig cakes. Let's get with it here. And so that happened. As you know, Abigail didn't tell Nabal that she was going down there, because he was having his own little party, his own little feast. And he was drunk, and, you know, so she'd slipped out and gone down there. And by the way, she distanced herself from Nabal by saying, that scoundrel Nabal, my husband. She just kind of added that in there when she was talking to David, distanced herself a little bit. And it was an interesting story, a very wonderful story. And I just wanted to mention that what that is a picture of is a picture of a coming bride to a coming king. We're the bride of Christ. Jesus is our king. And she did 4 interesting things, similar to what Esther did with Ahasuerus. Almost the same kind of thing, only in a different light. Esther was a beautiful woman. She had done a lot of preparation when she went in to see the king in the situation that she was dealing with. Remember, she put on a lovely robe, and she had been perfumed, and she was pretty. In fact, when the king looked at her, she was his favorite, and it said not just favorite like a bunch of concubines and wives, but it said that he loved her. He loved her. He loved her. That's a good thing. And you know the whole story of Esther. It's a wonderful story of how she did similar to Abigail. She didn't load up the donkeys, though. She had 2 feasts for the king. It's amazing how women can appeal to men with food. And these ladies did a good job doing that. They brought all kinds of food, and there were 2 banquets. And, of course, we see a picture of both of these ladies humbling themselves before their king, posturing themselves, throwing themselves down. In the final appeal of Esther, she threw herself down. First, she came before the king, but when she appealed for her people, she threw herself down in tears before him. And of course, she petitioned him at that point. And what did the king do? He gave her the petition she desired. And Abigail, the same way. Of course, Nabal came to an abrupt end. He had a little high blood pressure problem. Heard what she did. His heart turned to stone. And then somebody let him suffer for 10 days before he died. Was a little righteous judgment there. Be tortured a little bit or whatever it seemed like. And then he died. And it was interesting with David. It didn't take David too long, like the next verse, to figure out, this is a woman after my own heart. God was looking at David and he was proclaimed to be a man after God's own heart, right? Well, I kind of think Abigail was the same thing. This is a woman after his own heart because she was persuasive. She stepped out on her own. She stepped out on her own in some dangerous territory, leaving Nabal in the dark. She was very assertive. And you'll notice that Nabal had a heritage. He was from the house of Caleb. Notice Abigail. Nothing said about her heritage, huh? Nothing. But she determined to do what was not only right, but courageous. She took a courageous stand on behalf of the house of Nabal. Not Nabal himself, but the house of Nabal. And saved all of those male servants and so forth. And it was a good thing. And I wanted to just kind of share with you some things real quick, and then I'm done, of what those two ladies did. First, they prepared. They did a preparation. We need to prepare too. Prepare our hearts. When we come to the Lord, when we come to church, dress up. Dress up in our spirits. I was inspired really by Claire last week when she was talking about Esther, just doing a study on this, a bit of a study in terms of the principles, the suggested principles that I'm sharing with you that I see here that are interesting. They prepared themselves, putting on the garment of praise. They put on garments. We need to put on the garment of praise. As these two ladies beautified themselves, they were lovely, they were attractive as an example. So we need to be attractive in our spirit. We need to put on the garment of praise. It's what's so wonderful about the worship this morning. I was touched by the worship time this morning. It was good. It was a good worship time. And you were worshiping, putting on the garment of praise. Then the next thing they did was they made provision. They gave. Abigail gave donkeys full of fig cakes and all kinds of things. Esther put on feasts. She made an effort. Both of these ladies made an effort. We need to make an effort. For instance, if we're going to have a feast, it was interesting we had communion this morning. If we're going to have a feast, if we're going to commune together, then we need to make an effort, right? This is the largest group of Hebron grapes I ever saw in my life. I was down in the old city the other day, and there was an Arab lady there that took my money and then wouldn't give me any change. But she had the best group of grapes I'd ever seen. Now, this is unfortunately a little smaller. This is a little smaller than it started out because I had some of them this morning. I ate a few of them. But the thing that's really interesting about this is I'm going to ask if Claire and Michael and maybe Mary and maybe Liz, if you could, brought a pair of scissors. I'd like you to have one grape each, and we're going to have a little Abigail feast here real quick. Is that okay? You want to? These are really good. These are like the little apples. They're so firm. Oh, now here's the deal. There are seeds in these. So do not spit your seeds out on the floor of the church. Put them in your pocket, okay? Unless you... So Chuck, could you help me here? And we're going to have a second communion, only this is going to be a feast. This is going to be a feast of some really nice Hebron grapes. Now, I've got a little kind of a kicker to this. Because do you think there's enough grapes for everybody here, for one apiece? What do you think, Liz?
Let me count.
Here's the scissors.
Maybe, I need an app.
See, I need... Maybe we could get... Why don't you go down there and with Mary and who else would like to help? Carol, my wife. That's my wife over there in the white that's laughing at me. She laughs at me a lot, and it just really discouraged me in terms of feeling really self-esteem-wise. I've had some struggles. So we're going to give you each a grape. And so they, first of all, they prepared. Esther and Abigail prepared. They prepared to meet the king. Then they came with provision. They made an effort. It would have been really easy. This morning, I thought about this. I thought, you know, I don't want to take these grapes to church. I mean, I have to take them out of the refrigerator. These are still cold, hopefully. I have to take them out of the refrigerator. I have to wrap them up. I have to sneak them into the church. You know, it would be easier just to go to church. And it's like that with you and me all the time. It's always, can I make that extra effort? Can I give that extra offering? Will I give the extra time? Will I spend the extra moments in worship? Making an effort. It's important to make an effort. Makes it special, right? I mean, do the grapes make it special? Yeah. Makes it a little more special, just like that song, I Need a Nap. I think it has a message for us. So, Liz, are you going to go home and sleep this afternoon? That's what I thought, see? So I hope you enjoy the grapes. Now, how are we doing on grapes? Do we have grapes? Do we have plenty of grapes? The third point I wanted to make is there was preparation, there was provision, then there was posturing. There was posturing. The thing that I noticed about Abigail and Esther both is they postured themselves. If it pleases you, Lord. If it pleases you, Lord. They found a place where they reverenced the Lord. Last week I was, and I don't want to pick on Chuck too much, but the thing that I was impressed, well, let me tell you the thing I remember about the service last week. I remember I was sitting behind Chuck, and most everybody was, we were having a prayer time, and I'm not trying to exalt Pastor Chuck, but he was in front of me, and I opened my eyes, because I like to look around when people are praying. It's terrible, isn't it? I like to look around while people are praying. And Pastor Chuck was in front of me on his knees just before the Lord. And I was touched by that, by his reverence for the Lord. It was overwhelming. Just the posture he took. He took a posture before the Lord. And there was another young lady right here. I looked around and you know, I didn't do that. I should have probably, but it ministered to me. That ministered to me that he was there. This young lady was here. There might have been one or two others. They were posturing themselves before the Lord. And the final thing is, and then petitions were made. Petitions were made. And the thing is that Abigail and Esther got all of their petitions. Everything they asked for was given to them. So, in concluding today, I wanted to mention to you that my little special thing here was this. If we would have run out, I had backup, baby. I was ready for you. And there's something to say about that because, you know, Esther didn't just have one feast. She had two. Abigail didn't just bring a few loaves of bread. She brought lambs. She brought fig cakes. She had wineskins. She had, I don't know what roasted grain is. I mean, what is that? I could picture that in my mind, roasted grain. What do you do with that? Do you just dip in and eat a bunch of, what is that? Because you've got bread, so what's granola bars. Liz would come up with that. Okay. So in concluding, I wanted to say with the burdens that were here this morning, that were represented in the situation with Kirstie's family, other situations, I really like this this ministry, Cross Current. This is a good thing. Carol and I, of course, have been counselors many, many years, and to have this in the land, take advantage of this. This is a special blessing. But with the burdens that were shared this morning, and there was a heaviness about it. Did you notice that? It was just, I just went, oh, Lord, it's beyond human ability to care for the needs of this family. It's beyond our human capability. But it's not beyond the Lord. It was beyond the human capability to deal with what Haman did. He had been divisive. He had been cunning. He had planned. It was beyond Abigail's capability to deal with a scoundrel like Nabal. It was beyond her ability. But as she appealed to the Lord by doing these things, by preparing and by bringing provision, by bringing an offering, and by posturing themselves, both of these wonderful ladies, and then by bringing petition, the Lord answered. Their Lord's answered. A picture of us as the bride, a picture of Jesus as the King. Amen?